Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity to preach. It is definitely an honor and a privilege to preach a message from the Lord. I definitely don't take it lightly. But again, thank you, Pastor. This morning, Pastor mentioned that we have an hour to preach. And this afternoon, I did a practice run of this message, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to go a full hour, but it was about 55 minutes, so just bear with me as it may go a little long, but I'm just kidding. But if you find your place in Acts chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was the space, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for bringing us to your house this evening. Lord, I ask for your blessing upon this message. Lord, please bridle my tongue and control what I say. Lord, speak to our hearts, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in the book of Acts, we know at this point in time in chapter 5 that the early church was established, and they were doing very well. They went from a congregation of about 3,000 in chapter 2 after the Pentecost to about 5,000 men in chapter 4. Even when they were receiving threats from the chief priests and the elders, not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, but that made little impression on the church as they continued for prayer and boldness, and that's mentioned in chapter 4. In verse 32 through 35 of chapter 4, we'll go ahead and read that. This explains the atmosphere of the church. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. So we see that they were of one heart and of one soul. They voluntarily met the needs as they arose. So let's say the church was in need of some new pews, or they needed funds for a playground for the children, or maybe there was a family that was in need of some groceries. One of the members would speak up and say, you know, I have an extra house I don't need. I have 30 acres of land that I'm not using. It's just going to waste. And they would voluntarily sell their possessions and give to the church. And there was a spirit of brotherly love in the church, as it should be. In verses 36 and 37 is Barnabas, and he willingly sold his land and gave to the apostles and was honest about it. So the early church here in Jerusalem was prospering both spiritually and financially. The devil was doing his best to oppose the church by outward persecution, But all that was doing was making the church stronger. And then here we get into our text, the very first word, but. now the attack comes on the inside. And I'm going to look at Ananias and just a few things that he did. Then we'll look at Sapphira. And they're both very similar as to what happened to them. But we'll go ahead and start with Ananias. Number one, his hypocritical deceit in verse 1 and 2. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So their sin wasn't that they didn't give everything that they had, but rather lying about the amount that they sold their possessions. See, they wanted the same praise and recognition as Barnabas had received, but only for a part of the price. On the outside, they wanted to look like a generous, loving couple, but on the inside, it was all just a lie. Number two is his public display in verse 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. In chapter 4 again, in verse 31, it mentions that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll go ahead and read it. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost, except for Ananias. He was filled with pride, deceit, hypocrisy, covetousness. He was filled with Satan rather than the Holy Ghost. They didn't have to sell anything. It was all voluntary. If Ananias would have said, hey, Peter, we sold our land for $30,000. We'd like to donate $15,000. That would have been fine. But that is not the case here with Ananias and Sapphira. Number three is his divine judgment in verse 5 and 6. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. He wasn't given a chance to repent. He wasn't even given an opportunity to enjoy the portion they deceitfully held back. And then we look into Sapphira, very similar to the account that took place. And in verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So here's Sapphira. I don't know what she was doing in those 3 hours. She was probably putting on her finest-looking dress, her most expensive jewelry. She wanted to make sure her makeup was perfect. So she wanted to look as beautiful as possible for this glorious occasion for their generous offering. But what she didn't realize is she was preparing for her own death. And in verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. So right here she has a chance to tell the truth. And she said, yea, for so much. So we see her hypocritical displays in verse 8, her public displays in verse 9, and then her divine judgment in verse 10. But here Ananias and Sapphira, they're buried together as a testimony of their hypocrisy. In conclusion, we see that the Lord absolutely does deal with sin, especially church members' deceit and lack of integrity. You don't use the church as means of self-glorification. You don't join the church for a show. You don't attend church for business reasons or for the benefit of a social club. If this is the main reason you're going to church, you are a hypocrite. The purpose in going to church is to exalt Christ and to propagate Christ's influence. For those who are going to Bible college, I'm sure there will be one, if not more, students who are there for the wrong reasons. They're there for self-glorification. You know, they're there to say, hey, I can play these instruments better than you can. I can preach. I can sing better than anyone here. I can play sports better than any of the guys here. They are there for the wrong reason. And as Pastor mentioned this morning, you need to stay away from them. So tonight I ask you, are you a hypocrite? Do you have to put a mask on when you go to church? Let's not be a hypocrite, but rather sincere and honest. Thank you, Pastor.